Jim. Jim, you kept your word. You were easy on me there, so I appreciate that very much. Hey, good morning to everybody. I'm just so glad that you came out and braved the cold weather this morning. You know, yesterday, watching the forecast, you know, we had a radar watch going on at my house. I didn't know, you know, touch and go there for a while. I wasn't sure if we were going to be able to have church this morning. So praise God, you know, the weather worked out for us. In fact, I've got part of my family that came from Oklahoma City this morning, my daughter Amanda and my son-in-law Jimmy. And so we're so glad that you guys were able to join us this morning. Them along with my wife, Becky, and some of our other friends from our Sunday school class. And I just appreciate the support this morning because this right here, this is a bucket list moment for me. I am not a minister. I am not ordained, but I have wanted to do this all my life. I love getting up and talking about Jesus. I'm blessed to be able to be in a Sunday school class. We're self-taught, so I've been able to teach in my Sunday school class over the years. I've got to do refuel service on Wednesday a few times, but to have Bob relinquish the pulpit to me this morning, that's just such an honor, and I don't take it lightly. So what makes me qualified to be up here this morning? Well, nothing more really than any of you. I just love my Lord. I love Christ's church. I love his people, and I love teaching for Jesus. That's it. I am just up here able to be willing and praying that he will make me able this morning. For those of you that don't know me, I appreciate the introduction, but I'm Craig Jones. I'm a lifelong member of the Genesis Sunday School class, along with my bride, Becky. We were married here by Dr. Pearson in 1992, coming up on 30 years this May. So how about that? Yeah. She hasn't kicked me out yet, so. Yeah, we've been blessed to raise and baptize our three beautiful daughters here at Christ Church, and I'm so very honored that Amanda and Jimmy are here. My other two daughters are going to join us in the next service, Katie and Emily. I've also have my mother and father-in-law. They're going to be here this morning, and so I'm just proud to have all of them here supporting me along with several of my best friends. Thank you very much, all of you, for being here and supporting me. I appreciate it. Appreciate the congregation. Appreciate you all coming out this morning in the weather. So Pastor Bob's not here this morning, as Jim said. I just looked on my Google, and it's 3 a.m. there this morning. But I know Bob's watching us. So can we do a shout-out to him there this morning? How about on three we say a hi, Bob? So one, two, three. Hi, Bob. So, he and Kathy are over in Australia seeing their two young grandbabies in person for the first time. And I know they're just loving this time away. But I hope I can do Bob justice this morning because it is his invitation and I'm up here in front of you this morning. See, Bob first invited me to preach and teach this morning about 2 months ago. So the good news for me this morning is that I've had a few weeks to work on this topic that we're going to talk about. But in the past, and it didn't fail me this time, I've always had what I call the 2 a.m. wake-up call. So I guess God has worked out this thing with me that, you know, the only way he can get my attention sometimes is to wake me up at 2 a.m. in the morning. Because I think that's when I'm quiet enough and still enough that I can listen and really hear his voice. So it was with no exception that he did it this time. So I found out I've got two options whenever he wakes me up at 2 a.m. I can either get up and take notes, or I can toss and turn the rest of the night. So I did what I was supposed to do. I got up and I took notes. So the message for me that the Lord has been working with me to give to you this morning is that the church, our church, is open for business. We are open for the Lord's business. What does that mean, open for business? Well, it means that we need to get back into church. We need to throw those doors open, and we need to welcome people back to in-person worship and meeting as Sunday school classes and men's groups and ladies' groups and children's groups and all of the ministries and many other outreach programs and everything else that Christ Church was so good at pre-pandemic. You see, what has happened for many of us is that we have forgotten what church really means. For many of us, we have fallen out of the habit of going to church. I mean, look around. I know the weather was bad this morning, but we could fill this place up, couldn't we? If we all came together, and with God's help, we could fill this room up, and we could get it back to the way it was pre-pandemic. And I'm not just pointing fingers at Christ Church, because this is not unique to our church. Is occurring citywide, nationwide, and even worldwide. You see, the enemy has taken this point in time to use the pandemic to launch a full-on attack against the church and against God's people. But I'm here to testify to you, not on my watch. And I want to ask you as a congregation to say, not on your watch either. We have to make a stand. We have to make a difference for His kingdom and His church. Now, I understand that what we are currently experiencing is unprecedented. And I can hear you out there saying, but Craig, it's a worldwide pandemic. And we've never had to have anything like this happen in our lifetimes. And I get that. We had to be careful. And we still have to be smart about how we go about our daily lives. But I do believe God is telling us that it is time to take our finger off of the pause button and instead push the play button. Is there anything about this pandemic that a little more Jesus couldn't help right now? Is there any reason we need to turn away from our Jesus and rely on just what the world is offering in these trying times? If we ever needed a little more Jesus in our lives, it is surely right here and right now. Can I get an amen, please? Amen. I am here to ask you to come out from your basements. It's time to come out from behind the sandbags and come back to church. If we ever needed that, it's right now. We have to realize, unfortunately, that COVID has become the new normal. I'm not an expert, and I'm not here to say that I am. But I do believe that COVID is not going to go away in our lifetime. It has become the new flu in our world. And much like the flu, it is a virus. And also like the flu, we've already seen it morph and change several times in the last couple of years. And this is going to make it extremely difficult to eradicate with a cure based on the current science. But what does that mean? Should we run and hide and avoid all contact with each other? We were created to be social beings, and we need the personal contact of others, especially in the church. You need to be with your Christian brothers and sisters. This, right here, right now, is a special time. It is a sacred time in church together, praying together, worshiping together, singing together, caring and sharing together. This is a very special thing that we share together each and every week. We need to once again make Sunday a sacred day, the Lord's Day. And I don't know about you, but online is just not the same for me. I can appreciate that it's had its time and its place, and for many of us, it is still necessary. But I just don't quite get my recommended daily dose of the Holy Spirit after a church service on Zoom. And I don't quite feel truly alive after an encounter with Facebook Live meet and greet. At least for me, I need to see your faces. Mask or no mask, shot or no shot, social distancing if we need to. But we have to find a way to get back to work, to get back to the Lord's work. Because what I do know is this, the only way we are going to get through all of this is by getting through it together. Together with a little more Jesus back in our lives. I was talking with a friend of mine from the church recently, via Zoom, I might add, during one of our men's online journey meetings. And my friend told me he had made the difficult decision to not come back to church in person for the past year. He told me his wife had been very ill before the pandemic, and her immune system could not risk being exposed to COVID, especially with many of the serious side effects that can develop after being infected. And he told me, Craig, I'm just not the same. I need to be in the church with my Christian friends. I miss the fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need to see them in person and be with them in church. And it just made me so sad that he was having to make these hard choices in order to keep from getting sick and exposing his wife to what could be most certainly for her, a deadly virus. And then you know what? It made me mad. It made me mad that the enemy was getting the upper hand in the world and was forcing good Christian people to miss what truly brings us together in the body of Christ. So we have to be smart, don't we? And I do realize that what is best for me and my family, it's not going to be the same for everyone else. But it is time for us to all prayerfully seek a way that each of us can serve the Lord. See, we were created to be social beings. In the very beginning, God was alone in the universe, and what did he do? He created man to worship him and to pray to him and to just talk with him. And then God looked around and said, man is lonely. I will create woman to keep him company and to be his helpmate in life. And then we went forth and we multiplied. And a whole bunch of us became God's people. And then Jesus, when he came to the world to save God's people, did he choose to run around all by himself? No, absolutely not. He said, hey guys, he said, drop those nets and come hang out with me because I need my bros. Now, I may have paraphrased that, just the last part a little bit, but you get my meaning. He wanted guys and girls to be with him in his mission to save us all. And how about those early Christians? Did they stay home and check out the weekly service on Zoom or Facebook? No, they got in their little donkey carts and they went to church every Sunday morning and Wednesday nights and every other chance they could to meet in person. And many times they met at the cost of losing their very lives, but they still wanted to be together with the Lord. So this social stuff is biblical. We need to be in worship together. There are powerful things that can happen with prayer, and that is multiplied when we pray and worship together as a group and as a church. And that is definitely in the Bible. We could look at Matthew 18:20. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. There is strength in numbers, and there is weakness in being alone. The enemy has been knocking on every one of our doors during this pandemic. He is looking for the isolated. He is looking for the lonely. He wants to find that one lone sheep that has wandered away from the rest of the flock. The enemy comes like a thief in the night, as it says in John 10, verses 10 through 12. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But here's the good news, church. The verse in John 10:10 continues. It says in the verses, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that is our Jesus talking to us in these verses. He wants you and me, us, to have the life that he intended for us and to live it out completely. He is our good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, he laid down his life for us. The verses continue in 11 and 12. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. And that is exactly what the devil has done with us during this time of pandemic. He has taken God's flock and he has scattered it. And you know why? Because it is much easier to devour that single sheep that has gotten away from its flock. You see, that single sheep is afraid. That single sheep is vulnerable. And that single sheep is much easier to convince that they don't need Jesus to be in their lives, full-time or even part-time. Are you that lone sheep? Or are you a part of the flock, a part of the body of Christ, strong and bold in your with your Lord, walk with your Lord, willing to step out of your comfort zone, willing to step up and say, here I am, Jesus, pick me. I am willing to serve. Now help make me able to overcome the enemy. Because he will make you able if you prayerfully seek his will in your life. And if you're a part of this flock, this body of Christ, who do you know that is all alone out there right now? Who do you know that is still hiding in their basement, that is terrified because of the doubt the enemy has put into their hearts? Who do you know right now that in the midst of this pandemic needs just a little more Jesus in their lives? I tell you this, it is time, brothers and sisters in Christ, for us to be bold in our walk. We need to be inviters. We need to ask the question. And I know it's a tough question because the world tells us it's not okay to ask. But I'm here to testify. it is okay to ask the question to everyone you know, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Lord and Savior? There is absolutely nothing in this world that our Jesus cannot overcome. There is nothing that the enemy can bring into this world that our Jesus cannot defeat. And there is nothing that this pandemic can bring on God's people that our Jesus cannot triumph over. Can I hear an amen? But you know what? Our Lord needs your help to accomplish his sovereign will. Not because he has to, but because he chooses to. You see, he chose you, and he chose you, and he chose you, and he chose you, and he chose me to help him. He wants to use us to be able to help to usher in his kingdom. So how do we help God? Well, I'm glad you asked that. You see, he's got a mission for each one of us. So how do we help God? I'm going to answer your question with a question. Do you want a job with God, or do you want a career? Well, what's the difference? You see, a job is something you do because you have to. You have to have a job because we all need the cash to survive in the world, right? However, a career is something much bigger. It's something much better. Because a career is a choice that you make to follow a lifelong pursuit of doing exactly what you truly love doing. Did you know God is currently hiring? The help wanted sign is in the Bible. You didn't know that, did you? No way, you say. Where is that in the Bible? Where is the help wanted sign in the scriptures? Well, it's in there twice. It's first in Matthew 9:37, but I personally like the version found in Luke 10:2. He told them, and this is Jesus talking with the disciples. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out the workers into the harvest field. Do you get what Jesus is telling us here in these verses? Oh, I get excited right here. Jesus is inviting all of us to fill out an application for a new J-O-B. Do you know what that stands for? That stands for just our believers. He wants us to be a part of his team. You mean I can go to work at God Incorporated, where Jesus is the CEO? Absolutely, you can. And do you understand what the career path is that Jesus is asking for us to sign up for? He wants us to be inviters. He wants us to be ushers. He wants us to ask the question of everyone we know, do you know my Jesus? Do you? My wife Becky and I went to dinner recently with our friend David from CUMC. We were there to celebrate his birthday. You see, my wife is very big on birthdays. And if you ever tell her your birthday, she has this uncanny ability to remember your birthday years later. So we were there with David to celebrate his birthday on October 19th. And as we sat and talked and ate, we got to know our waitress at this particular restaurant. And even though this restaurant was completely full and extremely busy, we were able to learn that she had moved here to go to school and that she didn't know anybody here in Tulsa when she first came here. We found out that she was working a part-time job as a waitress to make ends meet while she attended school. And as we talked with her more, my good friend David asked this virtual stranger that question. Do you know Jesus? Her face lit up, and she said, yes, she did know Jesus. And she told us more about her testimony and how she had come to know her Jesus. She talked with us for over 5 minutes in the middle of this crowded restaurant, and at the height of the evening rush, this waitress felt so compelled to stop what she was doing to not only answer David's question, but also to go on to tell us her individual Jesus story. I was so proud of my friend David that he was willing to ask this young lady that we had just met that question that the world tells us it's not okay to ask. Do you know my Jesus? Do you? So I want to ask you again, do you want a job working for God? Or do you want a career working with the Lord? Because if you just want a job, are you going to be meek and mild, and are you going to just work for yourself? Or if you truly want a career like my friend David, you got to be bold and you got to speak up and you got to be willing to ask a whole lot of people that question. Do you know my Jesus? Do you? And if you want to ask that question with confidence, then you need to complete that application that Jesus is inviting you to fill out to go to work for him. You do realize God has already provided you with a resume for this new opportunity? Did you know that? Did you know that the Holy Spirit has already blessed each one of us with gifts and talents for you to use in your new career? It's true, and it's all laid out in his word in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of those tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Let me read that last sentence again. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. God gives his spiritual gifts to each one of us. Not some of us, not most of us, but each one of us. And although you may not specialize in all of the gifts that God offers, each one of us has his or her own specialty. And that's what makes each one of our gifts so important to the Lord. He needs all of us working together to bring all the pieces of his grand plan together. He uses each one of us to create that masterpiece that he wants to paint using each one of our individual brushstrokes. And if each one of us is truly given these gifts of the Spirit, do you think the Lord gives us these to be squandered and not to be used to build up the body of Christ? I think not. If you're given a gift from God, you absolutely need to use it. And you need to use it to the very best way you can. When you came into the sanctuary this morning, you should have received a copy of the ministry inventory sheet called Connect Opportunities. Get this out now, if you will. If you didn't get one, the ushers, hold your hand up. The ushers would be happy to give you one. It's also up here on the big screen. See, using this is your chance to utilize those spiritual gifts that you have been given and blessed with, to serve here at Christ Church, to fill out that resume that God has already given you with your gifts and your talents. Now, maybe you don't know yet what spiritual gifts you've been blessed with, and that's okay, because we have all been given a unique gift that is your own. And maybe you've never stopped to ask God how he wants to utilize your individual gifts to serve him. If that is you, I would encourage you to take this sheet home with you today and spend some time in prayer seeking wisdom from the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you towards the best way you can serve your brothers and sisters in Christ, here in the church and even beyond these four walls. We all need to serve, and we all need to find our mission here in the church, and we all need a career serving God. Now, if you've had a chance to think about how you can best serve God here through the church, please take a moment and fill out this Connect Opportunity sheet and return it to the church office, or you can leave it in the back when you leave today. Someone will get in touch with you and help you get plugged into that group that you can best utilize those gifts that God has already blessed you with. The Lord has been asking for you. He wants career-minded men and women who want to help him with his harvest by being inviters, by inviting people to know our Jesus, by inviting people to come to visit our church and meet your brothers and sisters in Christ that have your back in prayer during this pandemic. Those brothers and sisters that are praying with you and for you, for healing and for protection from the evil one that the enemy has laid out for each one of this in a time of uncertainty. You see, our Jesus is a winner. Our Jesus can help us defeat the enemy. Our Jesus can overcome this pandemic. So let me ask each one of you today, do you know my Jesus? Do you? I want to give each one of you right now an opportunity to answer that question as a yes. I want to invite everyone here today to have the opportunity to answer that question as yes, right here, right now. If I can ask every person now to bow their heads and everyone to close their eyes, I want to ask each one of you here and also those that are watching online to repeat this prayer after me and answer that question as yes. Repeat after me if you will. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I ask for your forgiveness. I know that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross to save me from my sins. I ask Jesus now to come into my life. I accept Jesus as my Savior. And I will follow him as my Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. In the holy name of Jesus, I have prayed. Amen.